Lord, open our eyes that we might see the treasures in your word. Lord, thank you for your word that this morning we're not delving into our own thoughts on things, but we're looking at what the scriptures say. And we pray, Lord, that whether we feel in a good place or a bad place with you, that by the end we would be in a better place because we've known you address us personally as your children. Please use my weakness and the fact that this situation is inideal, preaching into a camera, and yet would you use it for your glory and to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 17 and verses 3 to 6, that's what I'm going to focus in on, that's what I'm going to zero in on now. I wonder, do you know that there are thousands of unclaimed estates in the UK, that is, inheritance? For example, estate number 7123 on the government's list of unclaimed estates is that of Margaret Willison, a widow of Westminster, London. Little is known about her, but in the table of information about her that the government have managed to pull together, it's thought that she had a Scottish accent. So maybe if you have a Scottish accent, you could lay claim to her estate. You might just be successful. Or what about Norman Taylor from Huddersfield? Believed to have three brothers, but little else is known about him. And there are literally thousands of unclaimed estates like this on the government's list. Today I want to talk about not claiming what God wants to give his children. Today I want to home in on some people known as Zelophehad's daughters, because I feel like they get underplayed. We were hearing about Caleb last week. But the danger is that if we just home in on the celebrity believer, everyone who doesn't see themselves as a Christian hero might think there's nothing for them. Zelophehad's daughters, along with the celebrity status Caleb, have something to teach us. Chapter 17, verse 3. Now Zelophehad, son of Hephir, goes on to say, had no sons but only daughters. And they were great women of faith. Now, you need to know a few things about Zelophehad's daughters. I'm going to tell you three things now, what you need to know. In the book of Numbers, chapter 27, they had managed to get Moses to agree to them, to giving them their father's inheritance. So they have a promise from God, through God's prophet, of a prize, of an inheritance with their name on it. Second thing you need to know, women up until this point could not inherit land where there were no sons to inherit it. They couldn't inherit the land. It would pass to their father's brothers or someone like that. Thirdly, this land is within the promised land. And in the Bible, it's a picture of the heavenly country, the new creation. So these daughters are asking for a piece of this picture. I think it would be helpful to turn to one of the last chapters of the last book of the Bible. Come to Revelation 21. Just let you turn there. We're only going to look at a few words, but they're important words. Maybe pause it if you're struggling to find that passage, but otherwise I'll go on and read. Revelation 21 verse 1 says in St. John's vision, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You see, the promised land was to be a picture of this new world that the Lord will bring when Christ returns, that we're still waiting for. Israel have arrived in the land now, in this picture of this new heavens and new earth, and they're being given clan by clan and tribe by tribe slices of this picture of the new creation. So turn back to Joshua 17. Zelophehad's daughters want a slice of this picture. Verse 4, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our people. The daughters don't just want a portion of any land, but the Lord's land, which the Lord promised them. Verse 4, so Joshua gave them an inheritance along with the brothers of their father. Now they could have said, God's inheritance is not for us. We're too small and insignificant. We know that we don't have a chance, but they didn't. They were bold. They could have said, let the Calebs get things from God, but I'm too ordinary a believer to receive anything. But they didn't. They could have said, hopefully someone will realize and take pity on us and give us a bit of their land, or we could marry into wealth. But no, they wanted their own land as promised from God. They wanted a slice of the new creation. From this day, women in the Bible would be able to inherit goods and land where it was in danger of being lost out of the family, or lost to them. And all because these women believed in and loved God. So here's what all this means today. We need Christians who know what the promises of God are and will claim them. We need Christians that are hungry for a slice of the new creation. These daughters are not satisfied to simply be sitting in the premises of God, sitting in church, but standing on the promises of God. Do you remember what Caleb said? He was certainly, as a celebrity Christian, bold. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. That's Joshua 14:12. But just because you aren't really knowledgeable about the Bible or a Christian hero yourself, just because you don't have a university challenge level mind, just because you're not the loudest in church, just because you haven't learned to pray all day, doesn't mean you can't have a slice of what God has promised for you. The salvation of God and a place in the new creation is for weak people who know a strong God. It's not just for the Calebs who would be in the Christian Hall of Fame, but for the people that maybe no one else notices. All that we need is faith in Jesus Christ. Who says that you need to feel insignificant when God says that you are a child of His, a child of God? The women knew that the Lord had commanded they could have the land. Verse 4 of chapter 17. And they stood upon that promise. So thinking of the unclaimed estates, you might have a Scottish accent, but not be a relative of Margaret, and so unable to inherit her estate. Or you might be one of three brothers, as was the case for Norman, but it's a different Norman that you're related to. But if you are entitled to the inheritance that God gives, no one can stop you from getting it. The Bible says that you should give thanks to God, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. If God has qualified you to share in the things of God, why should you doubt it? The other day, someone described themselves to me as a house mouse. They meant they liked to stay at home and be quiet. But maybe you are a church mouse. You don't think you have anything to offer in the church family, anything to give or contribute, but that is a lie. Somebody has told you a lie there. Maybe you've told yourself a lie. And the lie is that you're not really a son or a daughter. But if you trust in Christ and are born again, you are a child of God. None of us who are confident sons or daughters feel worried about getting a drink in our parents' house or putting the television on or using their Wi-Fi. None of us who are confident sons or daughters would feel that we couldn't speak around the table or share an opinion, that we could not contribute something. But the truth is, many people feel like that amongst God's people when they shouldn't. The Holy Spirit wants to make us confident that we share in the inheritance of his holy people. You see, when you claim something, you take a hold of it and it becomes yours. I could claim the land on the government's list belonging to Mr. Norman Taylor, and if I have the rights, it will become mine. But if I don't claim it, even if I have the rights, it will go on sitting on the list of unclaimed estates and eventually be given over to the crown. I'll lose out on it. We need Christians in church who know the promises of God and are willing to claim them. What many people do is they make a commitment to Jesus, but they never take a particular interest in what God has for them. And yet he has so much. Or they feel they're far too inferior to take hold of it. They're a church mouse. So what are the promises of God? That God is preparing a home for his children. And that this means they live lightly now. That the Holy Spirit will be your comforter. So we don't need to find our comfort from bad habits or unhealthy relationships. That we will not be left as orphans. What are the promises of God? That the righteous will live by faith and not by performance, looking down on themselves. That our sins are forgiven and so we can live without guilt and fear. That the church will be the final and only thing standing in the end. And so not to invest in the kingdoms that look powerful now. that God wants to save the children of believers, and so we can confidently pray for and teach our children and ultimately trust him with our children, although we know, sadly, all won't repent and turn to him. We can know that God is well disposed towards them and keep sharing and teaching. That heaven will make amends for all our hurt and pain now, and so live fearlessly in the present. That Christ will return in glory to judge the living and the dead, and so one day all injustice will be dealt with. That Jesus will be our all-satisfying prize. There are so many amazing promises of God. If you want a slice of the promises of God and to have the blessings of these things, then claim them from God. Go to him. If you don't believe me, listen to these words. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You see, God wouldn't give a saviour. The Father wouldn't give a saviour if he didn't want people to be saved. He wouldn't give his spirit or comfort or help if he didn't want people to have them. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If, even though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Matthew chapter 7. So I'm praying that we would have more askers today. Child, go and get your inheritance. Church mouse, see that you're a child of God through faith. Calebs can be good, but sometimes, to be honest, they're a nuisance. Sometimes the celebrities just get in the way of ordinary people like you and me. So this Sunday, as we look at Zelophehad's daughters, we're celebrating the ordinary people. Yet the ordinary people who have faith. Don't you know that in Christ you have the right to claim everything? Perhaps you feel like you could use some help at the moment. Well, sometimes we run courses in church for people who would like to find out more about the Christian faith, or having made a commitment, would like to know more. If that's something you would like to do, then don't be put off any longer. Love you to get in contact and to speak to me about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Zelophehad's daughters. We thank you that they were bold, even though the only grounds they had were the promises of God. No one would have told them to go seeking these promises or to claim them, but they did it from faith. And so thank you that they actually sit alongside the Calebs. Lord, we might feel very ordinary. Maybe someone who's watching this morning feels very ordinary and like the promises of God aren't for them. They feel in a trembling way like they've trusted Christ, but they feel like the promises must be for other people. Help them to take a hold of some of the promises we've looked at. Maybe to go back through the talk now and to write down some of the promises that are made to them in Christ. And so to claim those. Would we be those who confidently want a slice of the things that you have said you want to give to believers? Would we ask, and would we seek, and would we find? For we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.